Week after week, we've been looking at the authority of Jesus. And I hope you don't mind me taking a little while and exalting the Lord Jesus, showing that He is the King. Last week, we did a study about Jesus being the head of all men. He's even the head of all men today. He's the head of the church in a special way, but He's the head of every president, every congressman, every senator, every judge, every leader. Jesus is currently the head. And it's very important for us to know that He is the authority. It's important for you to know this because you're going to have conflicting authorities today, and you need to know who the ultimate authority is. All right? You need to know who the ultimate authority is. Title of my message is Dr. Jesus. Dr. Jesus, the King of Kings. I mean, you put doctor on something today, people just bow the knee. You know what I mean? You just say doctor, and everybody says whatever you say goes. I tell you, so preachers said, well, that's pretty good. I mean, if these men could walk around in dresses and put doctor on, everybody just obeys them, I'll put doctor on my name and see what happens. So they put doctor before their name, and everybody says, okay, wow. Okay, well, he's a doctor. So this doctor thing is authority. You understand? It works. People like authority. But I'm going to tell you something. Dr. Jesus is the ultimate authority, and He is the King of Kings. He is the highest authority other than Father God. And I tell you what, there's three that bear record in heaven. Father, Son, Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are what? One. It says in our text, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Dear Father, help us understand thy word. Thank you, Father, for a good day of fellowshipping with your people. We do pray that you will be with us as we preach the holy word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been spending some time showing that Jesus Christ is the head of all men in one sense. He's the head to His church in a special way, but He presently rules all men today. It's important for you to know that. Now, He doesn't rule all men in the exact way that He rules heaven. He does not rule all men in the exact way that He rules heaven. But nevertheless, soon He will come and rule all men in the exact way that He rules heaven. You remember King Agrippa. We talked about him in midweek service. King Herod Agrippa was smitten with worms and died. Was that an accident? It was a judgment of who? I tell you, God rules all, even kings, doesn't He? God rules all men. He raises up kings, says the Bible. He raises up leaders and He puts them down in His time. And what's so wonderful about this is we're permitted to pray for godly government during this time of His patience. I pray, Lord, cause them to repent. That's my first choice. Or remove them injustice. Bring justice to the land. And I pray that good, godly men will be elected. Amen? Amen? We're permitted to pray during this time of His patience. Yet He's coming soon. And the Bible says He's going to show that He is the King of every king. Every knee will bow. But you need to know that He is presently the Prince of the kings of the earth. As John tells us in the book of Revelation, He is the Prince of the kings of the earth. Now He is the Prince of the kings of the earth, and they need to acknowledge it. Every man, but especially those in high places, need to acknowledge that Jesus is the King. Before we move on in this verse, I want us to realize that the authority that Jesus is exercising today is not nebulous. This is important. First, you have the moral law of God written upon the heart of man. So these kings are without excuse, you see. There's a right and wrong written on the heart of every man. So the authority of God through the law that He's written upon the heart of every man, He has spoken unto man. They can't get up there and say, well, I know it says that you were the authority, but I didn't know what to do or what. No, He has written His laws upon the heart if they will follow. But He's done a lot more than that. He has inspired a book that you can read. And He's preserved it for us today, hasn't He? This word is the revealed authority of Jesus. This is amazing. God has not only declared Jesus to be the authority of all men, and the highest king on earth must submit to Jesus' authority, but the Lord has given His constitution. He's given His laws, His ordinances. And He says, I am the king. These are my laws. That's just amazing to me. There's no king that can get before the Lord when He comes and he has to bow that knee. The greatest king, the greatest leader, the greatest authority has got to bow that knee to the Lord Jesus and confess with his tongue that He is Lord. But not a one of them will be able to say, I didn't know your authority. I didn't know your law, Almighty King. I didn't know. See, it says in Ecclesiastes 8, where the word of a king is, there's power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? I mean, this is the word of the king. Nobody can say anything against this book. And you know what's amazing? God doesn't just inspire that book and preserve it and publish it. He commands His servants. And He has a lot of obedient servants that will go out. He needs more of them. That'll go out and publish that word. Proclaim it. So He commands it. That's what John the Baptist was doing to the king. This, God's law. It's His book. You've got many evil things you're doing. You need to follow His law. Submit yourself to the Lord. He's King of Kings. You had Paul standing before Felix, the governor. And Felix was trembling as Paul reasoned about righteousness and judgment to come. So I'm telling you that not only is that book the authority, the revealed authority, the revealed will of God, but you are to go out and proclaim it so men are without excuse. Now, how often have I heard earthly authorities say, I've heard policemen quite often say, it is the responsibility of every citizen to know the law. And of course, you know, they've got laws now. They're trying to see, man is so proud, he wants to outdo God. So he has laws that basically would take encyclopedias that stretch from here all the way out into the parking lot to know. And then they change them like every month or so, you know. But nevertheless, you break one of these things and they say, well, it's your responsibility to know the law. Look, pompous man saying it's your responsibility to know all of these laws. You have to have lawyers to basically file your taxes, do all of these things because nobody knows the law. Somebody's got to keep up with that stuff. I was listening the other day as I was driving to the bank and they were talking about mortgage companies and how you have to have basically lawyers to come in just to run a mortgage company so they can keep up with the ever-changing laws every month. But you know what man says? If you break one of these, it's your responsibility to keep up with it. It's your responsibility to know it. What do you think's going to happen when they stand before God, when these kings, when these governors, when these magistrates stand before God and they say, I didn't know your law. After telling man that it's your responsibility as a citizen to keep up with all of their endless laws. But they're going to stand before God and say, I didn't know. You can't read a book. You can't teach yourself how to read, even if you could blame it on public school. You can't teach yourself how to read. You can't have somebody read it for you. And then what about God's preachers? Nobody told you what was in that book? You didn't see a preacher in downtown Fort Worth stop you and tell you what was in that book? God, who cannot lie, who changes not, has promised that if we seek Him, we will find Him. That's wonderful, isn't it? His Word, the Word of the King of Kings, can be found today. And since all power in heaven and earth is given unto Jesus, as we demonstrated last week by many scriptures, it therefore follows that His Word is more authoritative than any other word or law of man. And that's what I want to tell you today. I told you last week that Jesus has been declared King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Prince of all men. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And what I come to you today to simply remind you of, if not inform you, is that this law right here, these are His codes, His ordinances, His law is in this book. And what I'm telling you right now today, there's no power on earth in any field, in any realm, in any government that can usurp the authority rightly before God of this law right here. And I'm telling you, every king needs to submit to it. Every magistrate, every leader, every judge, everybody on the face of the earth needs to submit to this law. And one day you'll be sorry if you don't. And what I want to tell you as Christians today, there's not an authority on the face of this earth that is higher than these words right here. God says, I've exalted my word above my name, and God cares about His name. You better not take it in vain, and you better get far away from anybody else that does. Are you listening? If somebody takes the name of the Lord in vain, you better get far away from them. Don't you sit and get entertained by something that takes the name of the Lord in vain. You understand? And I'm telling you here that He's exalted this word above all His name. And I'm telling you right now, there's not an authority on earth, there's not an authority on this earth that can tell you that you ought to follow their authority when it contradicts this holy Word of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This is His book. Acts chapter 5, Peter and the other apostles answered and said to the magistrates there in that day and age, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's important, isn't it? Any magistrate on the earth, whoever they are, thou shalt. They got a lot of thou shalt nots. They got a lot of thou shalt nots. And they're seeing how many of them they can come up with. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. If God says thou should, and they said thou shalt not, I'm just telling you folks, fear not man that can kill your body, but rather fear Him which can destroy both soul and body in hell. Him shalt thou fear. God is the one we ought to obey. Y'all listening to that? Y'all get it? Okay. Acts chapter 4, Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Isn't that really what it's all about? I mean, whatever their authority is, if they're commanding you to do something that is outside their realm that God has ordained for them, or they're commanding you to do something that God has expressly forbidden you to do, or they're trying to keep you from doing something that God has expressly commanded you to do, according to the Word of God, we are to say unto them, well, you tell me, do you think it's reasonable that I would obey you instead of Him that is exalted at the right hand of God on the throne of God? And you know what? It's not only people that can exalt their leaders above the Word of God. But do you know what people do? Leaders exalt the will of the people above God. Have you ever thought about that? It's one thing for people to say, well, he's my leader, I have to obey him. You know, the policeman told me to quit preaching, so I need to quit preaching. That's how we think today in America. But the problem in many places is not that people obey their leaders above the Word of God, which is the highest authority in the land. I mean, he says in heaven and earth, he's the highest authority. That means if you could ever fly to Mars, I doubt it, but if you could ever fly to Mars, Jesus is the authority up there. He says, all authority, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. There's nowhere. Where can you flee from the presence of the Lord? You can't get far enough. As far as you go out there, he's the authority. But you know what the problem is that many times leaders exalt the will of the people above the will of God. They do it out of fear, or they do it out of idolatrous affection. Look at 1 Samuel 15. Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of who? The Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Is that good? Not at all. He's the leader. He needs to do what God says. And God has specific laws that He wants leaders to enforce. Matthew 27. The governor said, why? What evil have he done? And they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, and he didn't want to get in trouble with Caesar. Do you see what Pilate did? It's not that Pilate says, oh, I want to obey the people. It wasn't that. What Pilate said was, these people are making such a ruckus, they're going to get me in trouble with Caesar. And Caesar's going to come down, because Caesar just wants, when he points up a king, Caesar says, I just want you to keep peace. I don't want to be bothered with it, see? So, if there's some bother, if there's some tumult, some ruckus going on here, then I'm going to hold Pilate accountable. And so Pilate says, look, I don't want to bother Caesar and get in trouble with Caesar. So the people are screaming. I'm just going to give them their way. You know why? He feared Caesar. Who should he have really feared? You know what? The Lord that was higher than Caesar was standing right there before him. So he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Was he really innocent? No, he wasn't. But that's what a lot of leaders do. A lot of leaders say, I'm just going to wash my hands and say, you know what? I'm not responsible for this. What about Adam in Genesis 3? And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Was the wife over Adam, even in creation? No. So Adam had no business disobeying God and hearkening unto the voice of his wife. But notice what people do with the voice of God. They either let their leaders command them contrary to the voice of God in this book, or they let those under them persuade them to go contrary to this book. And God is not putting up with it. Do you see? Let me give you another one. Exodus chapter 4. You remember Moses? Moses was called to be the deliverer of Israel. And it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Now, if the Lord wants to kill you, He's going to kill you. But it sounds like, to me, God is just letting Moses know, you were going to be entrusted to lead Israel out of the land of their captivity, but now I've changed my mind and you're going to die. It's obviously dealing with Moses. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone, cut off the foreskin of her son, cast it at his feet, and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. It's obvious that the way Zipporah was raised, circumcision would be considered a barbaric practice. She did not understand the religious reasons and all the pictures that God had for it. And it appears that she put up opposition to her husband about this thing. And it appears that because of opposition in the home, that Moses decided that he would just forego circumcising their child and put the will of his wife above that, which is the will of God. And appears that God says, well, you're getting along with your wife now. I'm glad there's peace in your home. I'm glad you've worked everything out now and you and Zipporah are not fighting. But now, instead of having Zipporah angry at you, you've got me angry at you. And I'm going to kill you. So Moses basically had to just scratch his beard for a second and say, you know what? I think I'll circumcise my boy and have Zipporah mad at me. So he went home, circumcised his boy, or had Zipporah do it. But notice, Zipporah was still angry. She's not happy. But God deals with hearts. You see that? He declared Moses, you deal with what you have authority to do. You deal with what you have in your power to do. I'll take care of what I need to take care of. And so God now reinstated Moses as the deliverer of His people, and everything worked out great. Moses still had some trouble in his home life, but he didn't have trouble with God. You see that? You might say, if I obey God, I'm going to have trouble in my home. Oh, I'd much rather you obey God. I'd much rather you have trouble in your home than have trouble with God. Are you getting it? You say, if I do this, I'm going to have trouble with the government. I'd much rather you have trouble with the government than trouble with God. It's just plain. You can't escape it. It says in Hebrews 11, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He didn't fear the wrath of the king, did he? Why? Who knows? He feared God, who's higher than the king. Isn't that right? This is what it's all about, folks. It's all about authority. Your Christian life is all about you acknowledging the supreme authority of Jesus in every realm. And it's about the devil coming with whatever he can get a hold of, just like he tried to get a hold of Peter to try to stop Jesus from going to the cross. Whatever he can get a hold of, if he can get a hold of Eve, he'll do it. If he can get a hold of Zipporah, he'll do it. If he can get a hold of the policeman, he'll do it. If he can get a hold of the king, he'll do it. But whatever the devil can get a hold of, he comes and tries to get in the way and says, thou shalt not pray to Jesus. Old Daniel says, oh, you want to make a bet? Watch this, buddy. And he opens up his windows and he prays. Yeah. You know why? Because he feared God. Amen? He disobeyed the commandment of the king because he said, you can't make a commandment higher than the King of Kings. You don't have the authority. That's a null and void commandment. The king says, you want to make a bet? That's not a null and void commandment. When I say don't pray, I mean don't pray. He says, well, I guess God needs to show you who the real God is. And praise God, God did, didn't he? I tell you what, God saved Daniel and showed the king who the real God was. Woo! I'll tell you what, that's what you need to do. That's what we need to look forward to. That's what you need to trust in. Jesus showing the kings of this earth who the real king is. You know, Moses didn't fear Pharaoh, did he? But you know what happened? God had Moses stand before Pharaoh and teach Pharaoh a lesson. And he used Moses. The very one that says, I don't fear Pharaoh, I fear God instead. And God says, well, Moses, I'm going to use you then to go stand before him and take your old rod and sit there and say, let my people go. Imagine walking into the king, the highest king in all the world, sticking your rod in his face and saying, let my people go. Who in the world are you? Some shepherd. You're going to come tell me, let your people go. I tell you. But God was with Moses, wasn't he? I tell you, Pharaoh learned a lesson. And every authority on earth needs to learn the same lesson. Obama better learn it. Obama better learn it. Obama, like Pharaoh, better learn who God is. Obama, like Pharaoh, needs to learn who the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is. All of the faceless authorities behind the authorities of this world, all them bankers and whoever they are, they need to learn it. You listening? The people you've never seen that think they're running things, they need to learn who the Lord is. They need to learn who the Lord is. I tell you, Daniel 4, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Isn't that amazing? And he doth according to his will in the army of heaven. People say, well, I know he rules up there. Oh, no, I'm saying it's even greater than that. Among the inhabitants of the earth. Do you see that? Do you see that? Jesus rules among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? They locked up Peter in prison and he went to sleep. And they were waiting to bring him out and kill him. And he was in there asleep. And the angel of the Lord went in there and said, go. And old Peter didn't say, but that's against the rules. There's a big sign up there that says, thou shalt not escape. Peter didn't do that. Peter said, am I dreaming? And then he realized, well, I guess I'm not dreaming. And so he went and obeyed whatever the angel of the Lord told him to do. But it was against the authorities of the land, wasn't it? Look at Job chapter 9. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? Do you know anybody that can do that? Do you know anybody that can say unto him, what doest thou? Isaiah 45, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Well, that sounds like to me, that's pretty general, isn't it? Everybody has been made by God, and woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Matthew 28, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and where? And in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. We must respect earthly authority in its place. But you respect earthly authority only because you respect the highest authority, not outside that authority or above it. Y'all listen. We respect the authorities of this earth because we respect the authority of God. But we never or should never respect the authorities of this earth in all the various realms of authority that He's ordained. We should never respect them in disagreement with God or in contradiction to God. And this brings me to a very important point. Man loves to give himself many flattering titles of authority. You know, the Bible says the Pharisees loved the praises of men. And they loved the titles and they loved the prestige. But you must never allow any earthly authority to command something contrary to the Bible simply because they set themselves up as an authority. We must not let any earthly authority presume to usurp God's place as authority in any area where God has spoken. You hear what I said there? Any area where God has spoken. Now, there are religious Pharisees who seek control. This is one thing that's behind the Word of God's not been preserved. And that's what's behind it all. Somebody wants to be the authority. They know that if they can set up a class of men who are respected as the authorities and they can control that class of men, then you can control the people using religion. There's no better way to control people than religion. So if you can control whoever is giving them the interpretation of that book, and no better way to do that than say, this book isn't perfect, but you need scholarship to tell you what the Word of God is, you understand. And so now you can control humanity if you simply control the scholar. And that's easy to do. You say, you're not going to get your degree unless you go to our school, jump through our hoops. It's a very simple game of control. However, these people that seek control and envy the authority and power of the Bible and seek to usurp its authority, we know that if the Apostle Paul praised the Bereans for proving him by the Scriptures, and the Apostle Paul had a lot of authority, but he praised the Bereans. He didn't come and say, I'm the Apostle Paul, and it is because I said it is. He didn't do that. He came and said, I'm the Apostle Paul. They said, well, tell me what you have to tell me, and I'm going to check and see in the Word of God if what you're saying is true. And they went and they made the Word of God the authority. And Paul said, these are more noble, these Bereans, than all of Thessalonica, because they searched the Scriptures to see if these things are so. So Paul praised them for holding the book as the supreme authority. And I tell you what, anybody that's really of God is going to exalt that book above any other authority. You know that there are millions of humble Christians who know more Bible, especially about the things that really matter, than any pope or cardinal on earth? Do you hear what I just said? Any man that walks around says, I'm the vicar of Christ. I'm in place of Christ. I'm the mediator. I'm who you need to go through. And if the pope speaks ex cathedra, you need to listen because it's declared infallible. Do you know there's millions of Christians that know more Bible than that pope? Isn't that something? Or any of his cardinals? Or any of his priests? You ever think about that? You know why? Because they don't make a church their authority. They make this book their authority. And they choose their church based upon a church that sees this as the authority. So if you got an organization out there and says, well, we have a head prophet and he's our authority. And then we have this Book of Mormon and we have this other book here and we have this book here. And these are equal with the Bible. You better get out of town, man. I tell you what. Any theological doctor or scholar, there are millions of Christians that know more Bible than any theological doctor or scholar. Because they believe in the authority. They've gone to the source of authority. But just as there are religious Pharisees that say, bow the knee to my authority. You say, hold on, I'm going to check this book. This is my authority. Okay. Well, just as there are religious Pharisees, there's political Pharisees. And there are psychological Pharisees. And they all come with titles. There's medical Pharisees. There are entertainment Pharisees. Listen to me, folks. You got a little bit of time, don't you? Okay. There's political Pharisees, psychological Pharisees, medical Pharisees, and listen, entertainment Pharisees. Now, this entertainment Pharisee is somebody new. This shows that we are decaying in our culture today. This shows the end of civilization. That you have a man that can stand up here and grab a microphone and can give nursery rhymes and spit into the microphone with his britches falling down. And you know what people do? They follow him as an authority. What has he done? He's not a religious authority. He's not a political authority. He's not a medical authority. He's not a psychological authority. But they worship him because he can rhyme. Mother Goose the Witch was rhyming centuries ago and she does a better job at it. But I think you ought to stay away from her too. But the entertainer is set up as an authority today. Well, they said to do it this way. God said to dress this way, but they said to dress this way, and I got to follow them. They're the authority. How did they get to be the authority? How did any politician get to be the authority? How did anybody get to be the authority when God says He is the supreme authority? I don't get it, do you? That's the only answer, brother. Deceiving and being deceived. Can we examine some titles? And I want to show you who the real head of all men really is. Deuteronomy chapter 10, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords. There it is. Though you got so many letters after your name that you declared yourself a little G-God, it still wouldn't matter. He's still capital G-God. It doesn't matter. Whatever He says is what matters. Revelation 19, He has on His vesture, His vest, and on His thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I like that. He's not just declared to be Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He writes it. He carries around, written on His clothes, His title. People love their titles, don't they? I mean, they do. They put them letters and doctrine. They put all that. They like those titles because those titles win friends and influence people. Well, the Lord says, well, I've come. I'm going to put my title. I mean, He's been watching everybody else call themselves all these different things. Vicar of Christ, Reverend this, and all of this kind of stuff. He's seen Doctor this and PhD this. And He says, well, I tell you what, I'll come with my title then. And He writes it on His vest and on His thigh. Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Wow. He's saying, I'm more important and of a higher authority than any of you. I'm glad we can read that in the book. Because some of you might be persuaded to be intimidated. Some of you might be persuaded to be intimidated and say, I got to follow these authorities. Well, if they're in their place, follow them as long as they're following God. Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I am a follower of Christ. I mean, if you disagree with this book, I don't care what realm you're speaking in. You're not the authority. God is.